on a Thursday. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We will have analysis on former special counsel Robert Mueller's testimony before the House committees with your reaction along the way. That starts at 7:34. But first, Forty years ago, Sony debuted the iconic portable cassette player. It was total music freedom, love at first sight, because it allowed us to take our favorite recorded music anywhere we wanted to go.
Put on a Walkman and see the world in a whole new light.
Sony Walkman.
The Walkman from Sony, the one and only.
Come clean. Did you own a Walkman? How old were you when you got one? What do you remember about it? What did you listen to? Where did you take it? How much did you pay for it? Mine was under the Christmas tree for me in 1980. So awesome. 800-642-1234, number to call. Stephen Thompson is an editor and reviewer for NPR Music. He also appears as a frequent panelist on All Songs Considered and Pop Culture Happy Hour. He hails from friendly Iola, Wisconsin, and he joins us from NPR Studios in Washington, where I understand he is wearing a Packers cap at this very moment. Stephen, welcome home. Welcome back to the Ideas Network.
It is so great to be back on the radio in Wisconsin. I miss your state dearly.
So I understand, as you grew up in Iola, what do you remember about the Walkman? How did it influence your life?
It influenced my life massively. I was a budding music nerd when I got my first Walkman sometime in the mid-80s, and suddenly being able to take my music with me and just have it around my neck, have the headphone cord around my neck at all times, was really became a part of my identity pretty quickly. And so it joined me on my paper route. It was part of my walk to school. It was part of long bike rides. I had it with me absolutely everywhere I went from, I don't know, I want to say about 85 till, I don't know, probably till I went to college.
Did you have
in 1990.
Did you have some favorite cassette tapes?
I did. Actually, I remember in I was a paper boy in Iola, Wisconsin. I delivered the Appleton Post Crescent from 1984 to 1987. And by about 86 or 87, I had that Walkman with me absolutely wherever I went. And I remember I ran into this cool kid who lived down the street, and he stopped me and was like, "Hey, man, what are you listening to?" And I said, "Oh, you know, it was Master of Puppets by Metallica." And it was actually the album Chicago 18.
A
not very cool soft rock album that I was super, super into and listened to on my paper route every day. So the Walkman helped me become a poser, which was really important when I was, you know, 14, 15 years old.
What do we know about its history? It debuted in 1979. In Japan, how was this technology possible?
Well, basically, the Sony Corporation took like a larger tape recorder and kind of compressed it down, found ways to shrink its size to not that much bigger than the size of a cassette. And so suddenly you were able to put your music in your pocket instead of listening on a turntable or on a, you know, kind of cumbersome tape deck that you would carry around.
We're talking with Stephen Thompson. He is an editor and reviewer for NPR Music, appears as a frequent panelist on All Songs Considered and Pop Culture Happy Hour. You can join in with your Walkman memories, 800-642-1234. Do you remember listening to cassette tapes? What were your favorites? Did you listen to them in your car or at home on your paper route? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Kevin in Dodgeville. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
What a walk down memory lane this has been for most of us over the age of 30. We certainly all remember the Walkman. It was a nice portable package. The positives, if I could say, would be the portability and the sound quality was equal to or maybe even a little bit better than the albums. We were always used to a little wow and flutter. But it did have some disadvantages. If, you know, the headset was a little flimsy and it was difficult if you were going to be gone on a day excursion to take 6 or 8 cassette tapes with you.
Oh, yeah.
But I liked it for a much different reason. And I'm a little off track here, but I'm a professional musician and a songwriter, and it's so easy to have your music downloaded and without getting paid today on all of these sites. But that was a little more difficult when you had a tape player. But today's, and that's the reason I like the Walkman, is because it wasn't as downloadable as it is today. The artist got paid.
Oh, Kevin, thanks so much for bringing those observations. Steven?
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I mean, there was always a certain amount of degradation. If you were even taping a song off the radio to replay it, you'd have the DJ kind of nattering at either end of the song. The quality wasn't as good. Kevin mentioned the Wow and Flutter. I remember the first time I copied a file onto a CD. I copied something from CD to CD and was like, there's no loss of quality that I can hear. And I just remember having my mind absolutely blown by that, because there were so many imperfections in the way you listen on a cassette. You know, vinyl skips and pops, and vinyl can warp, tapes can warp. And suddenly hearing this pristine music that could be copied perfectly, I remember like I said, having my mind blown by that.
What about the iterations of the Walkman? You know, they started adding the AM FM to it. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the cassette tape. There was, you know, automatic rewind. What were some of those iterations?
Well, I remember things like you could have it set up where it would flip the tape automatically when it was over. So you could have this kind of eternal listening cycle, which now, of course, is so common to everybody. But the mechanics of that were really janky. And I remember I had a Walkman, or if the tape was wound too tight, the machine would sense that the tape was over and like flip it and flip it and flip it and flip it when it shouldn't. And so like there are these little frustrating idiosyncrasies of the machine that used to drive me absolutely crazy. And you know, over time, as Sony introduced the Discman and I started carrying around a CD player instead of a cassette player, a lot of those problems got ironed out. But I remember, you know, kind of coming of age with that technology, it's very easy to look back and laugh or romanticize it.
I have to say, I was pretty resistant to that Discman. I mean, I don't know. It just wasn't working for me.
And the discs were so shiny, though. I loved them.
And expensive. I mean, that was an expense. Yeah. You were going from cassette tape, and you had all this investment in the cassette tapes, and all of a sudden all these discs, CDs are on the horizon. Like, now what are you going to do? Now you have to change over to a new medium.
Oh, yeah. The music industry has definitely kept itself alive for a really long time by expecting people to rebuy their music collections. And I certainly fell prey to that myself. I couldn't get my hands on CDs quickly enough, because all of a sudden, almost all of those imperfections that came with vinyl, or especially cassettes, a medium that always felt like an in-between medium to me, CDs just felt like the future.
We are reminiscing about the Sony Walkman 40 years after it debuted and how we've evolved in taking our music on the go. Stephen Thompson is an editor and reviewer for NPR Music. He's our guide to the Walkman, to the leg warmers, all of it. Do you remember listening to cassette tapes? What were your favorites? Did you listen to them in your car or at home? Are you into music nostalgia? Do you still own vinyls, cassette tapes, or older music devices? What makes them special? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We are talking about portable music and how it evolved since the Sony Walkman came on the scene 40 years ago. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Over the decades, Sony says it sold more than 400 million of them. And here's an early ad.
Sony introduces the only cassette player as small as a cassette case. The incredible sounding Super Walkman.
Do you own or remember having a Walkman? What made you buy one? What did you think, and how did you listen to music, and how has that changed now? Should we credit the Walkman with pushing forward portable music technology? Join in at 800-642-1234, and Stephen Thompson stays with us. He's an editor and reviewer for NPR Music. Stephen, back then, how big of a deal was Sony? You know, how much appeal did Sony have? How much market did it have?
An enormous amount, to the point where Walkman kind of became the generic term for portable cassette player. And you know, when you have that kind of market share the way, for example, Band-Aid does, you know you have achieved penetration. Now, of course, there were lots and lots and lots of off-brand portable cassette players, which, of course, you know, helps move that technology along.
So the headphones, and they've changed a lot since the Walkman
sure
came
have.
Out. What were those first ones like?
Well, I remember at least my Walkman headphones having this kind of this thin, almost wire connecting these two like kind of orange puffballs.
Yeah.
that kind of fit in your ears loosely and you know, God help you if you were trying to work out or run, you know, like they would slip off.
And they get all drippy wet.
Oh yeah, because they were sponges. They were literally sponges on your sweaty face.
And people are eating breakfast to this. I mean, you know, but they were. So and did that evolve at all? Did we see the headphones change?
Yeah, I mean, over time, as the companies that made these machines figured out how people were using them, yeah, you saw more headphones, for example, where the earpieces might hook behind your ears, headphones that were specifically tailored to running and biking, you know, that were designed for people who were actually taking their music on the go.
So was the Walkman ahead of its time, or was this just a really natural evolution of taking a cassette recorder and just downsizing it?
I mean, I think of the Walkman as a very in-between technology. It's a natural step on the transition from a turntable that sits in one room in your house. You know, there were turntables you could move around pretty easily, but the transition from turntables to the current world we live in, where music just lives on our phones and we just walk around with ready access to music at absolutely all times, as long as we're carrying a cell phone around. So I think the Walkman was just kind of a step on the path from one point to the other.
I'm just curious, did you ever make any mixtapes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for me, I didn't, by the time I was making mixtapes like Here, I Made You a Romantic Mix, it was probably a CD. I was more making mixtapes for myself, taped off of Casey Kasem's American Top 40. So, you know, I was such a music nerd that I would transcribe American Top 40 in spiral bound notebooks. You know, I would sit next to my radio and write down the chart. Eventually, my parents bought me a Billboard magazine subscription.
Oh, that helps.
You know, because I loved that stuff so much. And so I could often anticipate, oh, they're about to play the song that Robbie Neville's C'est la Vie. I remember taping off the radio and carrying around on a cassette and listening to it while I was mowing the lawn. I have a vivid sense memory of that. So yeah, I made mixtapes, but I wasn't necessarily super savvy about sequencing. I was sort of taking them as I could get them.
Talking with Stephen Thompson, an editor and reviewer for NPR Music, we're looking at 40 years of the Walkman and where we are now with portable music. You can join in with your remembrances, your thoughts, and what the future holds. 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Stephen, what does portable music devices look like in the future? Where are we headed? Because, as you said, our music lives on our phones. Will that change?
It's really, really hard to tell. You know, I never would have predicted the way this technology would evolve. I mean, at this point, music is just one of a thousand different features on a phone that you're carrying around all the time. So right now, it's just whatever gives you an internet connection is how you can listen to music portably. So it's hard to tell how much more it can advance. But of course, if you had asked me in 1987, where does it go for here? I'd be like, absolutely no idea. We have actually peaked technologically speaking, and there's no possible way that we can go further. So, you know, for all I know, there's a chip implanted in your brain. And if you think about hearing Old Town Road, it just pops up in your brain.
Oh,
and instead of what happens now, where that song gets stuck in your head and you just hear a certain line from it over and over again, you can access perfect audio from it. Who knows? I have learned to stop assuming that technology has peaked at any given point.
Like your Walkman and the newspapers, you know, hitting at doorsteps. You know, it is a generational thing, and each generation has its thing because technology continues to evolve. Where are we at with streaming music service? What do you see going on there?
Well, I mean, I think the music industry is still learning how to stay alive. You know, musicians are still learning how to make money through streaming services. Right now, you can make a lot of money on streaming services in mass quantity. But for artists who are coming up, you're counting fractions of pennies. And so it's really hard. You know, musicians used to have a much easier time selling albums, setting their own price, and kind of controlling how people listen to their music. It's much harder to control how people listen to your music now. And so as the caller kind of said earlier, a lot of things were easier when people were paying for music, and people are paying for music on a much smaller scale now. So it's figuring out how to make money as an up-and-comer or as kind of the middle class is really, really tricky. So a lot of the challenges are how to make a music career sustainable for an up-and-coming artist.
And the people making music in their bedroom, and the things that you do on All Songs Considered, trying to find the pockets of talent and giving them some room to breathe, that must be a real challenge.
Well, and it's a major change in the industry. There are so many fewer gatekeepers to being heard. If you're a musician, you can wake up this morning, have an idea, bang out a song, and have it on the internet where I could hear it, you know, 1,000 miles away this evening. And that's a different element of it, where there is this democratization where anyone can make music. Anyone can make music and distribute it worldwide instantaneously. The problem, of course, is that everybody can do that. And so it becomes harder and harder, you know, to sift and winnow through that stuff and find the gems that really rise above the rest. So, you know, that democratization is incredibly powerful, and it makes it easier for people to be, at least technologically speaking, easier for people to be discovered.
How is Sony doing today with its business? Are devices like the Walkman, are there devices that we really rely on in our life? And of course, I mean, we think of our phones, but how is Sony doing as a company?
I mean, Sony is so diversified. I mean, Sony also makes entertainment and distributes entertainment. You know, they make TV sets, and, you know, there's still a lot of technology that people are buying. The tricky thing is music players, because music players really at this point are phones and computers. So I think Sony has, technologically speaking, you know, sent more of its resources into its other technologies, which are still thriving.
So was $400 million a lot of Walkmans to sell?
Well, there are 330. Well, I mean, now there are 300 and some odd million Americans, or even fewer, you know, when the Walkman was popular. That's a lot. I mean, it's a lot to sell. Now, you know, obviously, you're selling that worldwide, but I mean, they definitely had penetration. I mean, the Walkman was very much an experience that a lot of people got to have in the 80s.
I have to ask you, how much time do you spend listening to music a day?
I feel like not enough. you know, my favorite is in the car. Technically, I'm supposed to sort of always be listening to music for work.
Yeah, you can never turn off, right?
But God, every day is like Christmas morning. I love music. I love new music. And so now, you know, it used to be like every time I opened the mail, it was like Christmas morning and you're ripping open packages and it's like, it's a new CD. Oh boy. And now that music comes as a link in an email. And honest, I swear to you, it's still like new music. Oh boy. Which means I have the right job and I'm right where I want to be.
Well, we only have like 30 seconds left, but is there any crazy awesome music you're listening to right now that is just really much that you're really into?
Well, I have an advanced copy of this new Bon Iver record that's coming out at the end of August.
Tipping your hat to Wisconsin a little
tipping,
bit.
Tipping my hat to my beloved.
That's what you're gonna do. All right.
Tipping my hat to my beloved home state. It's not pandering. I've loved everything Bon Iver has done. So, you know, one of the joys of my job is I do get to hear a lot of stuff, not everything, but a lot of stuff before it comes out. And so right now that's kind of the record that's in my, I say record, you know, I burned it to CD and put it in my car and I have been listening to it over and over again. So that's probably what I'm enjoying the most right now in between stuff that I'm listening to for work.
Stephen, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Kate. It's a pleasure.
Stephen Thompson, an editor and reviewer for NPR Music. He has joined us from our NPR studios in Washington, D.C. And the morning show sister program Beta dug deep into the history of the Walkman last year. You can find a link to that report on WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.